Hello, Truck Roy here, and we have a couple special guests today. I know many of you fellas and gals out there who have been listening to my show have been asking me when I'm going to get guests back on again and do the roundtable discussions. I know a lot of people have missed Mary Kelly and some of the other regular guest hosts and guests that have come on. And right now, today, I have a couple folks from Europe. I have Adelheim, and I have Lord Nelson. Lord Nelson is generally in England, although he travels around a bit, and Adelheim is up in one of the Scandinavian countries. So our topic today goes right to the heart of white nationalism, which is the key reason we fight. Why do we fight? Is it because we have a personal dislike of every Negro or Mexican that we run across, or that we're hateful or anything like that? No, it's an issue of survival, and we're going to address that issue today. Before we get into it, Adelheim, would you like to say hi to everybody out there or introduce yourself?
Yes, well, I'm from Norway, as you said, one Scandinavian country, and I post some on Stormfront, and I like to make the point about white survival, mainly, to focus on that.
Right. And I know, Lord Nelson, you emphasize the same aspect, and it's really the core of white nationalism in almost every post that you make, which is you're not a hateful or angry person, but you do very much care about the survival of our heritage and our people.
That's true. Can I just say, first of all, to the people who've been asking you to get guests on, I'm sorry you got me, Lord Nelson. I'm like a cut-price version of David Duke.
Right.
You can go with that. So, you know, it was either me, David Duke, or Jarrett Taylor, or Bob Whitaker.
Right.
But unfortunately, you got me, folks. So there it is.
Sorry, yeah, Bob Whitaker was booked. Yeah, Bob Whitaker was booked, so.
I think it's fair to say that me and Adelheim are both I'd like to describe it as Whitakerites. I don't know if Adelheim will agree with that, but I certainly see myself my oldness. Where I'm coming from, yeah.
Right. You're breaking up a little bit on that, Lord Nelson. Is your sound okay, Adelheim?
Well, yes, I hear you, but not Lord Nelson.
Okay, Lord Nelson, are you with us?
I can hear you okay. I'm not sure if you can hear me okay.
Yeah, we hear you okay now. If we have any issues down the line, we'll go ahead and switch to Plan B with the communication there. Now, you were mentioning that both you and Adelheim are fans of Bob Whitaker, and I am too. The guy really distills the essence of things a lot of times. And the specific issue that we're going to be addressing today is how whatever arguments or opposition throws up against us, it really amounts to one thing, which means that we're going to be replaced or wiped out, essentially, in our own homelands.
I think the word you're looking for is genocide.
Right, right. But before we get into that, speaking of Bob Whitaker, Lord Nelson, can you kind of break down Bob Whitaker's mantra or the core of what he generally promotes out there?
I can read it out for you. Shall I do that?
You bet.
Okay, it's Bob Whitaker's mantra. It basically starts with the heading, Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white countries for everybody. It is said there is this race problem. They say this race problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. The Netherlands and Belgium are as crowded as Japan or Taiwan, but nobody ever says that Japan or Taiwan will ever solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and assimilating with them. Everybody says the final solution to this race problem is for every white country and only white countries to assimilate, i.e. intermarry, with all those non-whites. Now, what if I said there was this race problem, and this race problem would be solved only if hundreds of millions of non-blacks were brought into every black country and only into black countries. How long would it take anyone to realize I'm not talking about a race problem? What I'm talking about is a final solution to the black problem. And how long would it take any sane black man to notice this? And what kind of psycho black man would not object to this? But if I tell the obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives agree that I'm a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They say they're anti-racist. What they are is they are anti-white. And anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. That's it.
And that is so well said by Bob Wicker. Now, that may pass over a couple people's heads, but I think more and more that point being driven home, that really what we're talking about is the replacement of white people in our own nations. It's sticking more and more to the public out there. I know both of you guys are in Europe, but last week over here in the United States, major media outlets carried a story about the new census data that shows that whites will become a minority in America sooner than expected. It was expected around the year 2050. Now it'll be around the year 2042 due to unexpectedly large birth rates among non-whites and low birth rates among white people. And, of course, the key factor, huge non-white immigration into our nations. Adelheim, I know you're in Norway, and some of the Scandinavian nations up there, Sweden, I think, is having a large influx of people from the Middle East. And your nations are quite small, and you're facing the same sort of troubles that most all white nations are facing, which is you're being replaced. What kind of arguments do anti-white people make up there in Norway to try to convince Norwegians or other Scandinavian people to accept foreigners into their nations to breed in with their families and to replace the native people of those nations?
Yes, well, they point out that we have a quite good country and that, of course, many people would like to live here and that we have to take in refugees and people who doesn't have it that well in their countries, that are escaping from conflicts, for example, in Africa. And it's basically that we have to help. But, of course, we could help them in their countries, but that is never brought up, of course, because that doesn't lead to immigration. So that is one, the high standard of living is used as one argument. And I point out that Japan also has a high standard of living. But, of course, they ignore that because Japan is not a white country. So,
and right there is where we see what the aim of the anti-white people are out there. And they call themselves Antifa or anti-racist. But we have a clue to what their agenda is because they're not trying to turn Japan into a multicultural nation or turn China or Africa into multicultural nations. It's only white nations. And the argument that you just mentioned there that they make in Norway and other Scandinavian nations is that they need to share the wealth. And it's interesting because, again, we run into the hypocrisy of our opposition because here in the United States, they make other arguments such as Americans or Europeans came to this continent and stole this land away from Indians, and so we have to bring up Mexicans and other Aboriginal-type people or mixed-race mestizo people to pay back the white people for what they did. And, of course, over in England or Norway, those have been historically white homelands, and so they changed their argument over there. But their goal is always the same, isn't it?
Yes, it's always, of course, anti-white, and bringing a million or 30 million Mexicans into the United States is not going to help the Indians. So they are, of course, not interested in Indians. They are interested in getting rid of the white race. And, of course, as we said, they are hypocrites because they use different arguments. But there are, and many say that anti-racists are hypocrites. but they are really not. That is, if you look upon them as objectively against racism, they seem hypocritical. But if you look upon the anti-racists as just anti-white, you'll find that they are 100% consistent. They are purely anti-white. And that is what they are. It's a code word. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white.
Right, because so they don't seem to be concerned about, say, black racism. For example, if Nigerians or Ethiopians or some Sub-Hara South or African nation does not want white people in their homeland, they're not concerned about that sort of racism. They're only concerned about white people wanting to preserve their homelands. That racism seems to be what bothers them.
Yes, of course, because they are anti-white and they don't want white people to protect themselves or be against this policy they have. So if the Ivory Coast or some African country doesn't want Asians or white people, then nobody says that they are racist for that reason. But that is, of course, because they are anti-white. They're not anti-black or anti-Semitic or something.
Right.
So, of course, you have the same thing with what you have affirmative action, which is discrimination against white people. But,
right,
of course, discriminating white people is what they want. So, because they are, as I said, anti-white. So everything that is bad for white people, they are in favor of. It is really as simple as that.
Right. And, you know, I kind of want your input on this, Lord Nelson, because what we're seeing here is that when a person calls himself anti-racist, as much as our opposition likes to refer to themselves as anti-racist, being against racism is being against an emotion or an ideology or a tactic. Racism is a way of a type of behavior. But what we're really seeing is that they're not against a type of behavior so much as they're against a certain type of person, and that would be white people, wouldn't it? Are you there, Lord Nelson?
Yes, I can hear you okay. It's exactly what Adelheim said. It's the only consistent thing in everything that they say. And of course, they call themselves anti-racist. You know, I mean, if we go back a few hundred years when people were burning women alive for witchcraft, the people who burnt those women alive on wooden stakes, they didn't walk around saying we're just evil people who want to burn women alive on wooden stakes. They walked around with a holy cross, and they said they were anti the devil. They were against Satan. And this kind of mass insanity is predominant throughout history. And of course, you have to remember that most of these so-called anti-whites really do believe inside their own heads that they are simply against racism. And I remember a conversation I had with a member of Antifa, the anti-fascist brigade. I didn't tell him my true colors, of course. But he tried to point out to me that had to be a racist country, because every ruler of Britain, every prime minister, every king or queen since the beginning of history just happened to be white. And inside that person's head, that was absolute proof of white privilege and racism in Britain. So I quickly pointed out to this fool that every single ruler of Japan, for example, since the beginning of time has been Japanese. And every ruler of every Asian country has been Asian. And, you know, most of them don't even realize that they are actually anti-white, because it's just how they've been programmed and brainwashed. But that's basically what they are.
Yeah, that's very interesting how leftist organizations will often, be it National Geographic or some other left-leaning NPR in America, National Public Radio, any of these media or philanthropic or social study type organizations will always be in favor of Native Americans restoring their native rule, or maybe some.
Well, they,
go ahead.
Yeah, what they were in favor of that, but all the time they're making sure that the country is given away to the Mexicans. It's not about the Native American Indians.
Right.
It's just another stick they use to bash the white race with. You know, they go on about American Indians, but at the end of the day, yeah, like Adeline already pointed that out, it's not going to help the Native American Indians any by giving their country to the Mexicans. But of course, like we're saying, it wouldn't actually work if they just come out and says we're evil, brainwashed, genocidal maniacs, hell-bent on the destruction of our own race. Of course, that's not going to go very far. So but the way that the propaganda has been set up, I have no respect for white people who have to do away with themselves in their own countries, but the people who program them, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting because so many times you'll run across a liberal commentator that will pull, and I know liberal means different things in different parts of the world, so perhaps the better term would be leftist. You come across a leftist commentator, and they naturally expect any other race besides white people to stand up for themselves and defend their own ethnic interests. And yet, when a white person does that, it's considered to be racism. And it's amazing that white people buy into this sort of hypocrisy. And they even consider themselves to be very open-minded or very enlightened. And yet, when you point out something like you just did, Lord Nelson, to an Antifa person, they seem to be very confused because they've had this tunnel vision that white people are just inherently racist and evil.
That's exactly true. And it's quite interesting when you see the blank look in their eyes as you sort of, how do you put it, as you are deprogramming them. Because most of these white kids have no idea that what they're actually promoting is tantamount to constructive genocide against whites.
Right. Right. That is very true. They certainly seem to believe deep in their hearts that they're doing the right thing, but I think they're often betrayed by the tone of their voice. They're so hateful and angry. Are they the same way up there in Norway, Adelheim?
Yes, I think they are the same almost everywhere, at least basically the same. Another thing they do is, of course, they talk about diversity and multiculturalism and stuff like that. But I made one point, and that is that it actually we who call pro-whites or white nationalists or whatever that believes in multiculturalism, we believe in a world of different cultures and races, and in our world, so to speak, there is a place for all races. I would point out and say that all races have the right to exist, and that includes the white race. And it is when I say that, including the white race, then the anti-racist is very angry.
Right.
If I just say that all races have the right to exist, they follow and agree, but if I said that it also counts for the white race,
dialed an incorrect number.
I'm very
please
angry.
Check the number and redial.
Oops, sorry about that. Yeah, I think you're right on that. And when they talk about white people as racist, and you see we're becoming a smaller minority within our own countries, and worldwide, we're only a small fraction of the population. It's not like Chinese, for example, are under threat of genocide. If non-whites or Africans or white people even moved into China, China has a large population that is not going to be overwhelmed. But because European people make up such a tiny percentage of the world's population, flooding our nations with those people is similar to genocide, isn't it?
Yes, of course. You have to put everything they do into... you have to look at the whole picture and say that it is not just that they argue for immigration. They also force immigration into all white countries and only white countries, and then the force integration and assimilation and intermarriage. And I also they also stated that this will lead to a melting pot where all will be brown. So, and of course, and then they go on and condemn everybody who opposes that idea. So of course it is that picture, that when you look at it from above, so to speak, when you take in everything they say, you see it's genocide they want. It is not just helping people or immigration or something.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think we can, in a minute here, we can go ahead and look at the definition of genocide. Did you have that in front of you there, Adelheim? Because genocide is a very strong word, and to some people, genocide may sound like maybe overkill. They might think that we're exaggerating a little bit here when we're talking about genocide in retrospect to immigration into our nations. Lord Nelson, did you have the definition of genocide there with you?
I'll bring it up to you in 2 seconds. What we can do, if there's any so-called anti-racist liberals listening to this, so-called anti-whites, if you just want to, anybody's interested, just put the word genocide, G-E-N-O-C-I-D-E, into Google and press search. We'll see what comes up. Here's a Wikipedia definition, if that's not good enough. Genocide, genocide, org. What is genocide? Let's try to... Okay, I'm going to get the definition here. Repeat, I think it's from the UN definition of genocide. Everyone hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you fine, yes. Lord Nelson.
Basically what Adelheim is saying about they're enforcing a basic genocide is very simple. If you do not accept mass non-white immigration into all white countries, then quite simply, you are attacked at being a racist and a white supremacist. You could quite easily lose your job. Worst of all, you could even go to prison. So it's one thing someone saying, well, I don't care if there are no more white people in the world or if whites become an ethnic minority in Europe. But you do care. You're actually, you are a part of that program and you openly attack anyone who stands against it as being a racist or a white supremacist. I was going to say, I'm having a bit of trouble with my connection here for bringing up the definition of genocide, but I'll get it in a moment. When I'm ready, I'll let you know and I'll read up the definition for you.
Yeah, because I think that is important to do, because until people hear that definition, I think they may still have that sticking point in their mind that we're just helping people out when we're allowing them to overwhelm us in our nations or to replace us in our nations. And I think I want to help our American listeners, because I know most of our listenership comes from the United States, to understand that what Lord Nelson just said about losing your job or possibly even being imprisoned in certain European nations for trying to just for voicing your opinion that white people should not be destroyed, that opinion alone can get you thrown in jail over there. Luckily, here in the United States, we don't have that situation yet. Expressing white pride or a love of your ethnic group, if you're white in America, can get you fired from your job, but it's not yet illegal. But we must understand that our white brothers and sisters over in Europe do face that sort of imprisonment, and many of them have been jailed over in Germany and other places for expressing merely the desire that white people should not be overwhelmed by non-whites coming into their country. And a minute ago, Lord Nelson, or maybe it was Adelheim, I think it was Lord Nelson, you mentioned how this is sort of a mass insanity similar to the witch burnings or something like that. And I think that really defines it right there. That is just so illogical on its face. I'm shocked that people can buy into this propaganda that's being pumped out on our televisions and in our schools.
Well, yeah, but if you look at history, you'll find that many times in the past, if communism is a good example, or Pol Pot in Cambodia, the witch burning, Spanish Inquisitions, there's been times when you just have this mass in insanity. I think it was Nietzsche that said, in an individual, insanity is rare. In groups, countries, societies, it's quite normal. And just looking at the definition of genocide here, it's quite lengthy, but this is from the 1948 United Nations Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. And it's quite a long definition, but basically, just a quick paragraph from it. Causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, forcibly transferring children from the group. It goes on, but that, this little sentence in amongst this, because it's quite long, pretty much nails it. Inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Now, quite simply, turning a whole race of human beings into an ethnic minority in their own countries, and at the same time attacking any members of that race who speak out against it, i.e. condemning them for being racist or condemning them for being white supremacists, that is tantamount to constructive genocide, as defined by the United Nations in the 1948 Convention. So let's not mess around here. We can call it ethnic cleansing if you like. We can just stick with the nuts and bolts of it. But in the end, as defined by the United Nations, and pick any definition that you like, it is basically a constructive genocide. It is deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. End of. We are talking about genocide here, folks. Let's not make any mistake about it. And if any liberals are listening to this, any so-called anti-racists, wake up. That's all I can say. Wake up.
Right. And, you know, I think the main point that we've been hitting on here, which bears repeating, is we're really defining our opposition. We're defining the people who are against us.
Exactly.
And we're calling them by their truest and most honest definition, which is anti-white. No matter that they say that they're against racism or that they're civil rights propaganda or proponents, but really they're only trying to destroy the civil rights of white people. They're not trying to infringe on the civil rights of non-whites. They're not trying to replace Africans in Africa. They're not trying to replace Chinese in China. Their only target and their only aim is against one specific race, and that is the white race. So I think the key point of this program is that we're defining exactly not just the nature of the struggle that we're in, but the nature of the people who are against us. And so if you are, as Lord Nelson just mentioned, a liberal, you're going to have to look in the mirror and define yourself. Who are you really? Are you against racism among black people in Africa, or are you solely concentrated on white people?
That is so true, and that's also where Bob Whitaker is quite important, because at the end of the day, it's about attacking these people for the idiots they truly are. I'm not sitting here trying to justify, you know, that we're more intelligent than everybody else or that other races may commit more crime. That is irrelevant. The point of the matter is that, you know, if you're a white liberal listening to this, you've got to understand something. If you have children and your children are white, then you must support your own children being turned into an ethnic minority in whatever particular white country that you happen to live in. And if you don't endorse that, then you're actually one of us.
Right. Now, Adelheim, we've got a little bit of an issue here with the connection with Lord Nelson there, and I think I'll be able to resolve that in a couple minutes here. But I think we'll go ahead and bring him on over the other connection here real quick, and then I wanted to kind of let you chime in on some of your thoughts on this issue as far as it relates to perhaps your nation up there or the general effort by anti-whites all over the world to replace white people in our nations.
Yes, and there was one thing I thought about with the genocide, and that is that most people think of genocide as just killing people, but most of the ways to commit genocide is not by killing. and it's other ways to do it. And of course, to just commit genocide is to replace or just make another group disappear. So that is what genocide is, and most of the ways does not include killing.
Right.
So that is an important point.
I think another way of illustrating that is to say what would be the result, for example, in the United States, if the Mexicans had attacked our border with tanks and grenades and automatic weapons, and they'd come in and occupied our territory and raped our women and interbred with them and taken our homes. And yet we see that the exact same results have happened without the violence and without any resistance and without any American patriot ever firing a shot.
Yes, and of course, if you said the same thing about another group, if I said I want a world without white people, that goes along in the media and nobody objects. But if I said that I want a world without Jews, for example, everybody will oppose at once. So if you take what's happening to white and apply to a non-white group, everybody will see that it is wrong.
Right. I agree. And it reminds me this double standard and hypocrisy of a quote, I think it was, but it wasn't Kissinger, it was some other prominent Jewish fellow who made the quote that preventing mixing of the Jewish ethnic group with other people is not racism. He said that it's merely an issue of survival. And let's think about that for a minute. If that is true, and I think that may be an accurate statement, but is that not what they call racism everywhere? Isn't preserving your racial heritage just an issue of survival?
Yes, of course. So, but well, he's certainly anti-white, so he wants a melting pot in white countries. But they also want a Jews for Israel. You see?
Right.
So it's just anti-white, but you can't say it, of course, directly. So he has to say one thing for his people and another thing for whites.
Right. And the same holds true for any other ethnic group that is opposed to us, or even our own kinsmen, other members of the white race who are anti-white. And I think that's one of the best things about that term, anti-white, is it's so all-encompassing because, you know, one of our chief adversaries and the people who are facilitating our destruction the most are not Africans or Chinese or Mexicans. The people who are causing the most destruction to our European heritage and culture is other very confused Europeans.
Yes, and of course, when some of them say this, that, how can I be anti-white when I'm white? And that's an argument I heard a lot on Stormfront, people saying that. But of course, that's called a treason. It's not a very new phenomenon. And that is very bad. It's much worse with anti-white white people than with anti-white black people, for example, because the black people are much easier to recognize and much easier to fight against than traitors.
Right. I think treason or suicidal would best, perhaps suicidal would be even more accurate than treasonous, because someone...
Yes, it's both.
Yeah, they are treasonous in action, but I don't think they have given a logical thought to destroying their own race. They're just often following a crowd. And we have you back on here, Lord Nelson. Have you had any thoughts on what we've been discussing for the last couple minutes?
Yeah, I'm listening with interest. I think it's like...
Oh, boy, we've got little problems with...
what I said before, most of the whites...
Yeah, Lord Nelson, you were breaking up a little bit on that. Can you go ahead and repeat?
I was going to say that most of the white anti-whites do not even seem to realize what they're really about. they really do believe that they're simply doing this to stop racism. Their heads have been so filled with this idea of this racism in the world. And you made a very good point that none of this would be possible if it wasn't for our own white people at the very top of society in basically going along with it and in endorsing it.
Right. We've been definitely let down by our leadership, and I think one of the main reasons behind that is that when anti-whites, whether they be non-white or confused whites, tend to look at the white race as a group of individuals rather than a ethnic group. Now, when they talk about the black race or the Chinese race or perhaps Indians from India, they talk about a great heritage and a neat culture that needs to be preserved. But when they talk about white people, they don't see us as a group, except for maybe in some exceptions, huh, Lord Nelson?
The negative exception. If they talk about the Holocaust, they see a collective white group turning 6 million Jews into lampshades and bars of soap, to the extent that even though it supposedly happened, and Britain, for example, fought against the Germans, you can be sure that you must have mass non-white immigration into Britain, and the Holocaust is held up as a big tool to help enforce mass non-white immigration into Britain, even though the whites that had done this were German Nazis.
And
so they somewhat see a collective group there. Yeah.
And even beyond being German Nazis, they were people who have mostly ceased to exist today, and yet this argument that you're talking about here, that the anti-whites make against us, has to do with an issue of punishment. And so yet again we see another angle that the anti-whites are using against us, yet another argument which exposes their hypocrisy. We've seen the argument that white people need to help out non-whites, and there's a reason for immigration. We've seen in America the argument that white people need to...
they will use any reason that they think of.
Right. And you just point out another one there, that we have some sort of non-specific guilt about historical things that have happened, that our children or our grandchildren must pay for things that they were never involved in.
Yes, but another point here is that it's very important for us, when we argue this, to use the word genocide and to say that it is genocide that's happening to white people, because nothing justifies genocide. So some will say that, well, Americans had slaves and so forth and so on, but that doesn't justify genocide. And even the Holocaust does not justify genocide against white people today. So every argument they have does not, none of them justifies the genocide. So it's sort of, if we have to establish and explain that it is genocide that is happening, and then we could say that nothing justifies it. It's a way of arguing.
It's a way of presenting the truth, and I think it's something that really needs to be put out there, because in the United States you'll see white people who are on the whole greatly opposed to, for example, paying the descendants of African-American slaves, paying them reparations. They're very opposed to that, but they don't seem to put up any opposition at all to being replaced in their own nation. And obviously, paying reparations is a much smaller punishment than genocide.
Yes. But these reparations, well, they will never stop. Do you think that?
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't think we should give them an inch anywhere. And that comes down to the motivation factor, which is white nationalists such as myself and perhaps you fellows too, I'm clearly on the side of my people. I don't wish any harm or any ill on other people all over the world, but I do very much care for my racial brothers and sisters, my kinsmen, members of my race, my countrymen, people that I share culture and traditions and history and ancestry with, I care for them, and I don't want them to be destroyed. And I think this is an issue because we're always on our heels. Right now, you and I and Lord Nelson, we're all trying to get our minds around an attack that is being launched on us. It's not something that we went out and sought. It's not something that we provoked. I don't know about you guys, but I have a regular job. I would like to live a regular life and work in my garden and tend around my house. I didn't seek out this problem. This problem was thrust on us, and we are in a defensive posture. We always have been, and our opposition has always been able to define the attack because they are the ones that are attacking. They took the initiative on this. We were just going about our everyday lives when non-whites came flooding into our nations and our neighborhoods.
Yes, you're right. And it's time that we go on the offensive and stop fighting this defensive war. And that we, as you said, are being pro-white because Jews have all their organizations. Hispanics have a lot of Hispanics organizations. Blacks are loyal to blacks and have their organizations. So it's time we start thinking in that term. That we are pro-white and we should have our organizations, and the policies we favor is, of course, in the interest of white people and white people only. That's our interests, and we have to do what is best for our race, just as black people do what is best for them.
Sure.
You make a good point, but the most important thing is that we have our own countries, and I mean, even now, as we're becoming a minority in our own countries, a lot of anti-whites, which try and sort of mask their real intentions, starting to make noises that whites should have their own groups. And all that's going to happen is, while Africa will remain predominantly Black African, and Asia will remain predominantly Asian, white Europeans will end up as a minority in Europe with their own little sort of spokesman's groups. So it may well allow eventually some white society in Britain, for example, as we become a minority in Britain. So we'll go from having our own country to not having our own country, but we'll have a little voice in that country. We'll have the white British, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of anti-whites now are heading that way to hide their real intentions. It's like they'll say, well, you know, I'm not anti-white. I believe people should be free to marry whoever they want and have children with whoever they want. Well, that's all well and good if you have a Europe that's 99% white, the same way that Asia is 99% Asian. If you turn white people into an ethnic minority in their own countries and at the same time, you know, promote race mixing in the media, etc., then this is where we come back to the genocide thing. And like the definition clearly said, you know, denying an entire ethnic group its own living space.
Right.
Basically tantamount to genocide.
Yeah, and really for any group to accept its genocide and perhaps even segments of that group to embrace it, it really boils down to an issue of people who have lost their identity as a group and people who have lost their will to live, to survive, and for their children to survive. And so I think that's one of the reasons why so many white nationalists and people who do care about their nation's future and their children's future refer to themselves under the banner of white pride. Because pride has nothing to do with supremacism or hatred towards other people, but rather just a sense of well-being about yourself and about other people who share your heritage.
It is, but I mean, I can remember on Stormfront a few years ago when there was just nothing but complete, you know, trying to justify, you know, and they used to get so many anti-rights come on the board and just attack and ridicule and make fun. I do take on board what you're saying, but I've got to say that at the same time, it's very important. They've been getting away with this now for the last 40, 50 years. I don't know. They've been having an easy life. Up until recently, all you had to do was be a liberal, so-called anti-racist, and, you know, be prepared to call another white person a racist if they stepped out of line in any way, didn't follow the dogma of so-called anti-racism. And if you'll pardon the expression, all you ever got was your backside kissed, politely, because everyone was so afraid. And if you took that stance, you never had to worry about actually defending yourself. That's what has to change. I've seen it change on Stormfront, and it's made a big difference. I don't know where half the so-called anti-racists have gone on the OV forum. Used to be full of them, not so much anymore. And I personally, in my own daily life, I don't walk around saying, oh, I just love my race. I walk around saying, this is genocide. This is ethnic cleansing. And I challenge people. You know, you must support your own children being turned into an ethnic minority in the country that you live in. If you don't support it, you are a racist.
That's right.
You hit them right between the eyes, because, you know, I actually had it once with a woman who was a very self-righteous, condescending liberal. And she happened to mention, I would not say when the children were there, obviously, it's just not nice, but she happened to mention that she had two white kids. Part of this thing that Adeline's talking about, they always talk about how they are white, therefore they can't be traitors. They can't be anti-white because they are white, they have white children. And I looked her straight in the eyes and says, well, you must support your white children being turned into an ethnic minority in Britain. If you don't, you are a racist. And she couldn't answer me, because the simple reality is, if you said, you know, I'm against whites becoming a minority in Britain, or I'm against whites becoming a minority in Norway, or I'm against whites becoming a minority in Germany or America, and that country where you're saying that, the media and the general consensus is, you are a racist.
Right. I do feel that the tide is turning on that. There's only the smallest signs of a turnaround right now, but even in public opinion, I think there's a point where people are starting to realize that it's not an issue of maybe one portion of their nation or one segment that is becoming more ethnically diverse. It's rather that white people are all on the run in basically every nation that we're in, and in just about every segment of America, for example, and that we're being isolated and balkanized more and more.
Yes. Yep. And another point we need to make is related to this is that because for so long they have demonized us. And of course, when we argue the way we do, we demonize them and say that they are the ones who are evil. Yes, we have to, they are evil and we're the good guys. And we have to prove that and repeat it and continue to demonize them for wanting to genocide us.
Well, that's very...
That's
a great point, Adelheim, because oftentimes when you bring up these issues to people, they'll readily admit that we're on the run, that we're being overwhelmed. But where their sticking point is, they say, well, what's the solution then? Because they have this Hollywood image in their mind that if you're trying to protect the white race, then you have to genocide other people. And that's something that they're so opposed to that they will often actually accept their own destruction rather than look at alternatives, which there are many nonviolent alternatives to correcting this problem. And this...
Boys,
go ahead, Lord Nelson.
The simple answer to that, if they say to you, what is the solution, just say the same as it is in Japan, Saudi Arabia, China, just go and reel off the names of half a dozen or more non-white countries. The solution is the same as it is there. Because they that's really what you have to do.
Right, and it's never a nice thing to have to look at people who are not as wealthy as you or do not share in your first world lifestyle because their culture is a third world culture and they live a third world lifestyle. It's hard to say you cannot have part of something that you did not create or that you did not build. And that is a hard thing. But when it comes to the question of what is evil, as Adelheim just pointed out, the genocide and destruction of white people is evil. No matter how you cut it, no matter what you may think about the feelings of non-whites, as far as their access to charity or anything like that, or their access to our resources. No matter how you feel about that, nothing trumps the fact that if white people are destroyed, the world will become a worse place. Not just will we cease to exist, but the charity, the technology, everything that we send to Africa, everything that we send to white people, to non-white people all over the world, the entire modern world that we've built with all its ease and convenience that has brought up the lifestyles and the lifespans of people all over the world will fall with us. And if there's, even if you believe that white people don't have a right to survive, our destruction will mean the destruction of millions and tens of millions of non-white people too. Our race, if you put weigh the benefits or the troubles of it, always we've been beneficial to all the people around us. And I know, Lord Nelson, you don't like to get into these issues because you don't want to look at it as a comparison between races, and I think that you're wise on that. But when people go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I understood what you said, but it's kind of like justifying, and again, it's unnecessarily hitting the white race against others, saying they were better, and it's not that I don't understand what you're saying, I do. But very simply, I'm looking at a map of the world right now on my computer screen, I see a country called India. There are lots of Indians living in Britain. That's not a Native American variety. But I believe the population of India is around 1 billion people these days. You could take one corner out of India, stick it in Europe, and you've effectively committed a genocide as defined by United Nations against the whole population of Europe. And you'd still be left with another half a billion Indians living in third world poverty. You still have the populations of Algeria, Libya, Egypt, Zaire, Tanzania, Angola, Botswana, where am I looking, China, always Iran. It's not going to solve anything. You could flood the whole of Europe tomorrow with 1 billion non-whites. You've got 1.3 million people in China. Yeah?
Right.
And after you've done all that, and you've actually took a whole race of people and effectively replaced them in their own homelands, you'd still be left with mass third world poverty and suffering. So there's only one thing this is ever going to achieve, which it brings us right back to the very start again, which is the genocide of white people.
Right.
It's not, it'll always come back to the same thing over and over. And the reason we came back to it there is because you were using an argument of that anti-whites like to use. And take any argument that you take from an anti-white, and you'll notice that ultimately it's always the same.
Right, and that's kind of what we've been doing in this show, is looking at some of the justifications that anti-whites make, and we've come to the conclusion that no matter how they try to justify non-white immigration into our nations, it always amounts to the same thing, which is our destruction, and that really, our destruction does not help anybody else in the world. It doesn't help Negroes that lived 100 years ago in America and who are slaves or however long. The only thing that it does is destroy white people. And that's...
And that's all it's ever designed to do.
Right. Right. And I don't know what you guys do, but if you run into a person, a white person, who honestly believes that the destruction of white people is not a problem, that our children having to grow up in places where they don't have a future, if they can look a little white child in the eye and not care that they're destroying that child's future, that they're going to have to live in a third world slum, people like that, I really don't waste my breath on too much.
what I would do with someone like that is I would turn it around. If they say that they have no problem with whites becoming a minority in Europe, for example, I would ask them, well, do you have any problem with black children becoming a minority in Africa? And you will find they can't answer it, because for someone to be brainwashed in the liberal, lefty sort of mindset to the point that they can look you straight in the eye and say they have no problem with white Europeans becoming an ethnic minority in Europe, someone who's that, who is that brainwashed cannot cross that line. Just ask them the question, so, okay, you've told me you have no problem with that, so therefore you would have no problem if black children become an ethnic minority in Africa. If they say they wouldn't have a problem with it, just ask them if a black person does have a problem with that. Are you accusing a black person of being a racist or a black supremacist? And just keep twisting it, because eventually they're going to have to snap. That's what I say.
Right. And I think that's an issue where a lot of us white nationalists have been sucked into a conflict that we did not choose, and we're just defensively trying to fight off an attack that is coming down on us. We don't have, many of us don't really have a desire to push this conflict forward. We don't want to spend a lot of time arguing about it. We just want to have our own places to live. Yet the solution is that we are going to have to get fired up, and we're going to have to fight to survive. And that means that since our opposition does have such a hypocritical and illogical argument, we have to keep pushing that argument until it reaches its logical end and they are broken upon their own words. Did you have any thoughts on that, Adelheim?
Yes, well, we need to argue effectively. We need to learn how to use arguments and to make points and how to win arguments against them and to show that they're wrong and they're evil, and we have to, as I said, learn to use the right arguments and to use effective arguments, and going on the offensive and start accusing them for genocide, and not sort of defensively always saying that, saying something we said for all these years about it's not about race, or it's not about, it's only, it's not about hate or something. We have to make our points and our arguments. We have to learn to use them effectively.
Right, and I think we always have to be on our side. There's nothing wrong with charity. There's nothing wrong with helping other people around the world. But our first loyalty has to be with our kinsmen, with the people who are closest to us, the people who share our beliefs, the people who, like us, do care about our environment, about our towns, about our global situation. And all these other people that you may care about, if we're not around to care about them, that they will be in trouble. So, and of course, we will be in trouble. And so we need to always be on our side, just as every other race is. It's kind of a law of nature that if any species or any people do not try to survive, do not have that will to exist, they will not exist. And the laws of nature are bearing that out right now all over in our countries. And so let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that enough people out there will be like Adelheim and like Lord Nelson here and arm themselves with the arguments that it takes to challenge our anti-white opposition without being intimidated out there. Adelheim and Lord Nelson did not stumble over a rock someday and hit their head and come up with the understanding that our opposition is truly anti-white. They did some research on the internet. They went on Stormfront. They've argued these points with anti-whites in the opposing views section, and they know their stuff. And that's an example that we can all follow. And we're out of time, so I want to thank both you, Adelheim, and you, Lord Nelson, for coming on. And now that I'm starting to get guests back on my show again, I hope to have both of you on again soon.
That's great. Thanks for having us on. Cheers.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
All right. Bye. That's it. See you guys next week. Walk tall, stay proud, don't give them an inch.